I'll tell you right. You know who's not going to make it through this? The foot massage places.
I feel bad for strippers. You know, they're fucked.
I don't think they're fucked. Do you?
They got webcams in.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
I saw some hooker. I was riding my bike the other day, and I saw some hookers on Hollywood Boulevard. So there's still hope for him.
Just drinking that Corona out the tap.
Yeah.
Oh, the hookers are curb serving now?
Dude, they're just walking down Hollywood Boulevard. It was like the sun was still out, and they're just going for a stroll. Dude,
is that right?
Yeah, it was tight.
That's crazy. Did you have them knock the dust off it or no?
I mean, I took a lap around the block. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, you did.
Damn.
Welcome back to It's All Bad. My name's Keith.
I'm Mike.
What up? I'm Russian Danny.
What's up, Charlie?
This week we're going to the Midwest, Nebraska. Dave's got some great stories.
Yeah. Interesting cat. Red dirt. Red dirt mayhem.
Yeah, red dirt country. Meth.
So wild. And seemed like just a genuinely, I mean, listen, we only chatted for those few hours, but seems like a genuinely sweet guy.
Really nice guy. Maybe one of the craziest ghost story we've had on here. You know,
dude, yeah.
Ghost psychosis. You know,
yeah.
I still don't know. Like, I want to believe that it's all ghost shit, but it's like
I don't know.
And psychosis. You know?
That happy birthday, like that shit was pretty.
That shit's crazy.
Okay.
That freaked me the fuck out, and. You know, it's kind of like the one thing that's neat about what he did, or at least for me, when we were recording, I was like, oh, this is the real deal, right? Because this is how it goes down. Is it 90% of that shit? It's like, or the vast majority of those stories are like, they got a bit of your own psychology and your own psychosis in there. Mm-hmm. And like, how much is that you're just vulnerable to it? Like, how much is that you're just, maybe you're in a compromised state and you're just like a little bit between, I don't know, the currents. Like, you know, if we believe that the ghosts and stuff are like, maybe they're running on a slightly different quote unquote frequency, you know what I mean? Not like this is not science of it, whatever. Like, maybe you dip into that when you're fucking spun the hell out. I don't know, but that birthday shit was like, okay, that's legitimately terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some amazing rules to how to successfully use methamphetamines and keep your job.
Oh,
that was fucking God.
Yeah. Almonds. Ridiculous.
Like almonds, really? Yeah, that's, you know.
That's the insanity, imagine.
Right? Yeah, I need some almonds. A handful of almonds. I was like, water, cool. But that almonds, you know, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banana. An amazing PCP story.
Yep.
Yep.
He was great.
Making love with some lightning bugs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Getting it.
Making love with the lightning.
I don't want to, no spoilers, right? Yeah. Right. But like, well, that was rad. Making love with lightning bugs. And also just being basically beaten by this woman.
Yeah.
God, I don't know who she is.
And then
is.
Go back to her.
Yeah. What about, hey, what about, yeah. Right, we're still talking.
Yeah, we're still talking, you know.
Yeah, we're still talking.
That is amazing.
It's a good one. And David is a longtime listener who reached out to us, and during this time we're starting to reach out to a lot of fans who have stories to share. So if you have a story, send us an email, and we'll get you on the show.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought to say.
Long time listener.
Dude, there's that Danny, you or something else. Literally every drugs, people are like, my dad was an astronaut and brought back some dust from Mars, and Danny's like, yeah, that stuff's great. Huh.
the only thing I didn't, all right, wait, the only thing I've ever said no to or didn't try was dust off. I never did
huffing?
Dust off. Yeah. No, I huffed some shit, like, but I never did dust off specifically.
You huff paint though?
No, I didn't huff paint. I mean, I did poppers, you know?
Yeah.
I did a lot of poppers. I didn't even realize there was anything sexual about them, you know?
Yeah.
other than I was buying them at Circus of Books, and there was like dudes trying to cruise me, you know, and I'm like, man, y'all need to fucking.
Did you guys watch that Circus of Books documentary?
No, I started.
No, not yet. Is it good?
Great.
It. Oh, yeah, good.
Great. I'm like 30 minutes in.
What is it on? Netflix?
Netflix. Yeah. Dude.
All you guys,
shout out.
You want to see where quite a few of our stories might have originated or ended, watch that documentary.
Yeah.
Don Norman's in it, huh?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Dude, we should get Don Norman on.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we should.
I found myself in about 2 years, maybe, or so, a year before it closed, I found myself in Circus of Books, like, literally having come out of, like, Stella or Cliff's Edge, like, just having had a dinner, like, just a very regular average guy on a Wednesday night. I was hammered. I'm like, I'm going to go get a goddamn porno mag. I'm going to get a Penthouse, right? That tells you around when the last time was I bought a pornographic magazine. I'm like, fuck it. I don't know. That sounds fun. I'm just going to go get a porno mag. And so I go down there and I walk into Circus of Books and it all kind of comes back and I'm just checking the scene as it goes around. And I realize I'm like, God damn it. You're really hammered. And you really don't know what you're doing here, do you?
Yeah.
And I just kind of looked at the clerk and was like, hey, wrong number. And just,
did you? Where was the original Circus of Books, Danny? On Santa Monica?
And he laughed, and I walked out. What's that?
The original one was on Circus. It might still, I mean, it'd still be there. They still have the sign. It's on Santa Monica, just west of Crescent Heights.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, that's Crescent the Heights original. And
City Hall. That's the original one, on the south side of the street.
I never been there, but the one,
Silver Lake.
Yeah. Whatever, yeah. Sunset and Sanborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Check out the documentary. We got our 50th episode coming very, very soon. What, 3 weeks?
Yep.
3 weeks, yeah. Something like that.
50 of these motherfuckers. Holy shit. That is tight. And thank you guys for listening.
Like, yes, thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. Thanks everybody that leaves a review, man. That's like, my girlfriend was sending me screenshots of the reviews. That shit's so cool to read, you know? Like,
yeah, those are the
it's
best.
So cool. It makes this all worthwhile. Thanks for everybody that, like, reaches out, you know, to us on Instagram and email and, like, us personally and relates to, like, I don't know. It just keeps, like, it keeps a little fire under my ass to keep this thing going, you know?
I think we're doing pretty good. Sure. They said podcasts aren't doing well right now, but I think we're doing okay, you know?
Yeah.
And wait, stay happy, stay healthy, stay sane out there.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.
Here's,
right,
here's David from Nebraska.
Yeah.
I've been rocking the quarantine look for a long time, but then I saw the number of subscribers y'all had, and I was like, no way, I cannot go on looking like a fucking caveman. I'm getting ready to start my own show again soon, so I was like, no. I gotta be at least presentable to the audience.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then my beard, until I chopped it off, like, I didn't want to get in Mike's way. I was like, Mike's the beard guy. Do not get your beard.
Well, we're gonna. I think I'm gonna probably take this thing off because it's getting hot.
Oh, so. Dude, I know. In the summertime, you gotta bring that shit down. I tell you what, I played in a band for, man, I was in a band for 10, 15 years, I think. And I never had a beard when I was drumming, ever. Because except at Christmas time, I'd grow the fucker down to like here at Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And then just to do shows for kids and stuff. And then as soon as January rolled around, I cut that shit right back and I just had a goatee. And that was just to keep the air cool around me.
Oh, did you grow up in Lincoln, David?
No, I grew, well, sort of. I grew up in Grand Island where I live now. I lived here till I was 21. And this town is not all that great. It really isn't. So I moved to Lincoln and I lived there till I was 40. And then I moved to Fremont, Nebraska, which is where I really got into drugs, man. Oh man, that was fun. And then then it all caught up to me and I caught a bunch of charges.
And, you did? Nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I caught some charges. Yeah. Some of them got dropped. The big bad ones got dropped.
Yeah.
Then some other ones caught up to me. And then I caught a felony possession charge. And
No, sorry to interrupt. What would be a felony possession? How much?
No, a felony possession charge for me. Okay. Well, there's a lot of backstory to it, but at the end of the day, the amount that I got charged with wouldn't even weigh. We got pulled over with we made a pipe out of a light bulb.
Yeah.
We made a pipe out of an appliance bulb, a pen, and a little bit of duct tape. And we,
wow.
And we smoked all our dope, and then we were rolling down the highway, and my girlfriend was beating the shit out of me. And I'm not kidding, dude. I let her drive my car, and she's in the driver's seat of the car, like driving with one hand, popping me right in the face with the other hand.
Dude, that's amazing.
And I was like, and the whole reason she's popping me in the face is because, like, earlier that day, it's the only time I've ever hit this. I hit full on meth psychosis.
Yeah.
And so, like, I blacked out for a minute. It's the only time it ever happened. That's why I'm glad I got clean after that. But I woke up, and I remember looking at her. I was still in the driver's seat of the car. And I was like, I need you to find me a gun. Mm. And she's like, why? I'm like, because this is it. I'm ending everything. And the next thing I remember, I was walking down this highway. And it was like the lights came on. I was like, where the fuck am I? And I thought I was in my hometown of Grand Island, right? And so I thought I was walking on this highway next to my folks' old farm. And I was like, all right, cool. I can get there real quick. And then all of a sudden, this like Platte County, Nebraska sheriff rolls up in his pickup. And he's like, hey, you need a ride into town? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so where's your car? And I was like, oh, I think my girlfriend stole it. And he's like, oh, she stole it? I was like, yeah, don't worry about it, though. It's cool. I'm like, just get me somewhere with Wi-Fi so I can call her. Because at this time, I was full on like tweaker lock guy, you know, huge ass salary to needing Wi-Fi for my phone.
No way.
And so dude, I went in the span of like 2 months, I went from 70 G's a year to needing to look for Wi-Fi to run my phone.
Wow.
Dude, those arrests hit me hard, man. Like, well, I was trying to do that shit where everybody who's successful when they get into dope, they think they can do both worlds, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody. And for a long time, I did. I had a double life for a long time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. For the better part of a year.
Doing speed and going to work?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's incredible. I had rules at first.
Let's hear them.
Yeah, let's hear the rules.
Rule number one was you never stay up for more than 24 hours. Oh. So if I had the next day off, that gave me 24 hours to get high, to do whatever I was going to do, and then crash out, right? Usually I'd smoke a bowl of weed. And then, man, you guys have done speed and weed. So you know how that gives you that, like, almost like a mushroom trip.
Yeah.
For a couple hours. And then you just, you fall out, right?
Right.
So that was rule number one. Rule number two was every hour I'd keep a 20-ounce bottle of water next to me. It didn't matter what I was doing. Because most of the time I'd be at my computer. And that's, well, before I discovered how much sex you could have if you had meth, I'd be at my computer. Or like just rocking it out on apps, that sort of thing. And so every hour, if I hadn't drank this bottle of water, I had to chug the 20-ounce bottle of water and then go refill it. Wow. That was every hour. Every 2 hours, it was chug the bottle of water, just like every hour, then take a handful of almonds and eat those. And then, hold on, I can keep going. Every 3 hours, it was water, almonds, banana.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah, I stuck to that. Oh, and then every 4 hours was water, almonds, banana, brush your teeth. And so I stuck to that shit like religion until I met my tweaker girlfriend. And then those rules started to erode away because, well, we know what happens when you're a tweaker and you meet a tweaker girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My only rule I ever had was if I nodded twice at the wheel, I would stop driving.
Oh, man. See, I never fell out driving, but I fell out in many a parking lot.
Oh, really?
I'd just be like talking to somebody on the phone. And one of my favorites, this girl I used to do coke with, I'd moved away. She was in Lincoln. I was in Fremont, Nebraska. And I'd moved away, but we still kept talking. And she knew I did coke because I did coke with her, but she had no idea I did meth. So like, she'd sell me Adderall and coke, but she'd be like, don't do meth. I'm like, you're selling me Adderall.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you understand there's zero difference? Like, what you're doing to me is exactly the same shit I can buy on the street.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. It's fine. So I remember one night I was talking to her. I got off work at my job. and I needed cat food and cat litter. And so I cruised down the street to the Family Dollar. It was between my work and my house. And so I pull in the Family Dollar and I'm talking to her. And I remember like mid-sentence. I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Next thing I wake up and it's dark out. And when I got there, it was 2 in the afternoon.
No way.
Yeah. Like I just fell out. Like I fell out like crazy, dude.
My buddy did that. We were at Cantor's one night. And this is when I was sober, but he was on the speed. And he was talking. He was like,
"What's Cantor's? Is that like a bar?"
It's a deli over here on Fairfax. Yeah. It's like a 24-hour Jewish deli.
But oh, okay, cool, cool.
There's a bunch of dudes sitting around, and he's like, "Yeah." And I was going to the store, and he just fell back with his mouth open.
Fell out.
Everybody kept eating, and like 45 minutes later, when he came to, he went right back into the same sentence. It was like he hit the pause button.
Dude, that shit. I remember one time I just figured out Xanax. I used to, like I said, I played in a band for like 10 years, but that whole time I was not doing drugs. I was drinking a lot, but I didn't touch drugs. In fact, I'm that like weird guy. I waited till I was 40 to start seriously doing drugs.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the whole time I was in a band, didn't touch it. And then that's one night we were in the studio and we were recording our second album and my singer would always give me a Xanax to calm my stage fright.
Yeah.
And so he gave me like 3 of them cause we had 5 tracks to do. And the first 4, like all those 5 tracks, I just flew right through. It was just bam, da bam, da boom, da boom, 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 boom. And so we get done and my guitar player and the production engineer were just chilling there and we were all drinking, smoking weed. And then I was like, I got these Xanax guys. You guys, I got 2 left. You want them? And they're like, yeah, sure, sure. So they take them, they throw them on the table, and they crush them up, and they snort them, right? Oh. I was like, holy shit, well, that's intense. I said, I'm going to go in the living room and play some Fallout on my Xbox if it's cool. And they didn't say anything, so I was like, all right, good. So my bedroom was upstairs, and the studio was downstairs. And before I went to bed, I smoked a little weed, and I wanted to go make sure that the tracks were all recorded right. So that way, you know, because I had to tell the rest of the guys – they were all coming in when the drum tracks were done to start filling it in. I was like, all right, I got to go down to the studio and listen to this. Then I'm going to go upstairs and go to bed. When I went down to go to the studio, my guitar player, it was actually his house. And he was sprawled out on the stairs, like 2 hands up on one and 2 legs down, like 3 steps down. And I was like, dude, you okay? He's like, oh man, Zanny is weird. And I was like, all right. So I was like, he can talk, he's good. So I go down to the studio, I check the tracks, I make sure they're all tight, they're all saved. And then I'm like, all right, fuck this, I got to go to bed. And so at this point, I'm not really that stoned anymore. I'm just like, I got to go upstairs, I got to get to my bed, I got to go to sleep. And I open the door to go upstairs, and there's our production engineer, and he's sprawled out exactly the same. It's like 2 hands up on these stairs, and then feet on the floor.
No way.
And yeah, his name was Mello. I was like, Mello, you okay? And he's like, oh, what did I do? I'm like, well, we drank, we smoked some weed, and then you snorted a Xanax. And he's like, how much did I snort? And I'm like, you snorted a whole bar. And he's like, oh, that explains this. And then I shit you not, guys. I shit you not. We were eating sandwiches, and he reaches into his mouth and pulls out a whole bite of sandwich because he had taken a bite of a sandwich and started to crawl up the stairs and then fallen asleep and forgotten about the sandwich in his mouth.
No way. That's yeah, fucking dude. Amazing.
It was fucking crazy. And that's the craziest drug story I have for being in a band, really. It's fucking nuts. Like everybody's got all these crazy like Motley Crue stories. And you know, you tour around a little bit and you get a lot of that. Like there's a lot of cocaine in the band circuit.
Yeah.
But we were playing country, but it wasn't pop country. It was like red dirt country.
Yeah.
And so you get down, like everybody that you hear pop country and you're like, oh, they're just drinking Busch Lights on the hood of a trailer gate.
Yeah.
But that's not how red dirt country works. Red dirt country is a little bit different. And so we'd be down in Texas and people would be like giving us key bumps all the time. But by that point, we were all pretty accustomed to it.
Wait,
so it wasn't
Frank or Coke?
Coke.
Okay.
So we'd be getting key bumps of Coke all the time. But we were all pretty used to that. Like, Coke's not uncommon in Nebraska. It's not common. Like, weed and meth are common.
Right.
In fact, remind me in a little bit. I'll tell you a story about how common meth is. Okay. I don't want to tell it quite yet.
Okay. But, we'll warm up to it.
Yeah. So we're touring all around the Southwest, and we're getting key bumps here, key bumps here. In fact, one time, man, I was playing there's this band, their guitar player, he plays for a pretty famous all-country band now. But it was our first major tour, and we were doing the entire Southwest United States, like everywhere from Oklahoma down to New Mexico, across Texas, Louisiana, then back up through Kansas and into Nebraska. And I remember this because it was one of the shittiest shows I've ever played. We were playing this this bar in Dallas, Texas, and it was on the third floor of this old-ass building. There's no air conditioning in this building anyway, and it's 100 degrees, and it's August in Texas.
Yeah.
And the elevator was out.
Ooh.
And it gets worse because I'm a drummer. And the guys in my band were selfish bitches. And so once they got their gear upstairs, that was it for them. They were going off to get drinks and eat dinner. I'm a drummer. So it takes like 5 trips, man. And so like my fat ass lost like 7 pounds. Just huffing, just huffing my gear up the stairs, right?
Yeah.
And we were touring with this band. And I was like, oh, man, well, at least that guy – he loves blow, so, you know, we'll have a good party after the show. And I remember walking into the bathroom after we were done with our set, and they were setting up for theirs. And he was a guitar player, of course. So guitar players, I don't care. You can be in a bar band. You can be a superstar. Guitar players don't have to do shit.
Yeah.
Like somebody sets up their stuff for them. Somebody tunes it. It doesn't matter. They don't ever have to do a goddamn thing. Yeah. And so I walk into the bathroom. This guy's got like a Bowie knife.
Uh-huh.
Like it's like 9 feet long and 36 inches wide. Like it is the biggest knife I've ever seen, and it's got just a barrel of cocaine laid out on it. And he's like, hey man, you want to hit this? And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, well, you know what, this is it's the first major musical tour of my life. I'm gonna be a rock star. And I hit the whole fucking thing, and he looks at me and he's like, fuck, dude. He's like, that's all I got for 3 days. Like, I don't have another hookup. And I'm like, how much did I just do? And he's like, you did a half a gram. And I was like, I'm like, you're telling me I just snorted half a gram of cocaine? And he goes, yeah. I was like, all right, we'll see you outside, buddy. And the next 4 hours are just, the next 4 hours are a gigantic blur. I have no idea what the fuck happened.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm sure it was no problem getting your gear back down the stairs. You're all here, fucking.
Oh, dude, no, No, it was so easy. I was like throwing my bass drum over my shoulder, just like all the tom toms. I was like, somebody kick that window open, I'll jump out it. Right. Yeah, it was fun. It was fucking baller, dude. Those were the days, man. I had a lot of fun doing that. Let me know, guys, if I start talking too much, just shut me up.
No, it's all right. Go.
Not at all. The very next weekend, we go out to the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, McCook, Nebraska. It's way out on the western edge of Nebraska, almost to Colorado.
So far out, it sounds far out.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's called McCook. Like,
you're just like, that's not close to anything ever.
We're playing this music festival, like probably 2.5-3 hour drive, right? Mm-hmm. And I happen to run into this beautiful woman, this tattoo artist, like just sexy as all hell, way out of my league, right? But she happened to have a thing for drummers, and she happened to have a thing for like red dirt country music. And yeah. So I was right in her wheelhouse. And that was an unusual position for me to be in at that time.
Yeah.
And so we get at this show, we play our set, and it's still daylight. And this concert festival runs 24 hours. The music never stops for 3 days. It's rural Nebraska, so everybody's like, oh, we don't want to go there. But, you know, you go, and it turns out to be really awesome. There's a lot of great music. But we get done with our set, and we're watching a couple other bands. And she's like, hey, do you want to do some mushrooms? I was like, well, yeah. Why would I not?
Yeah.
And so we go back to the – she came with a couple of her friends. We go back to their car, and I'm just expecting a Ziploc bag with, like, you know – like an eighth or something in it. We're going to split. She opens up a coffee can that's like 5 inches deep of mushrooms.
Damn.
And so my usual reaction, somebody hands you like a bag with like an eighth, you just grab what you can and eat it.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed what I could and ate it. Turns out I ate a lot more than I was supposed to. Oh, nice. The way I know this is the next morning, all the guys in the band, all our friends that were there, they were coming looking for me. And the only thing I remember from about an hour after the mushrooms, like I remember like rocking out to bands, having a great time, and thinking I'm thinking I'm totally gonna like sleep in this girl's tent, right? I wake up in the middle of this like tall grass marshy area by this creek that is not maintained at all. And I am covered in bug bites, like terribly. And I wake up and she is about 30 yards behind me, laying on a blanket. And I was like, what happened? And she's like, well, I kept trying to get you to come to bed with me, but you were infatuated with the lightning bugs. And she's like, so I just let you lay there. I was like, I have been desecrated by mosquitoes. and the
amazing.
one of the worst moments of my life was she looked me dead in the eyes and she's like, you would have been desecrated by me if you'd have listened. And I said, holy shit. At that point in my life, I said, holy shit, I'm done with drugs.
That's amazing.
Those lightning bugs.
How did you get into speed?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. So it's a two-part question. So when I was living in this town when I was about 19 years old, and I was smoking a lot of weed with this guy, and we were trying to start a band. And I'd heard – back then we called it Crank. You know?
Yeah.
And I'd heard of it, but I never tried it. And one night we were just rocking out. I was playing drums. He was playing guitar. We were smoking weed, playing video games, having a great time. And I was like, dude, I got to get some sleep. And he's like, do you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I tell you what, why don't you try this out? And he pulls one of them busted-ass light bulb pipes out of his pocket.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have all made those, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You knock all the shit out. You stir salt around. And he's like, why don't you just give this a hit? And so I was like, well, I was like, what is that? And he's like, it's Crank. And I was like, oh, man, I heard that tweakers suck. Mm-hmm. That was like a big deal around our pot society back then. And I was like, I thought tweakers suck. And he's like, why don't you give it a shot? And I was like, all right, cool. So I took a hit, and I was like, holy fuck, I will play drums for 9 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, just from one hit, right?
Yeah.
My girlfriend came home from work. Try it. And the old boy, he pulls me aside when his girlfriend gets off work. She's going to their apartment. And he pulls me aside, and he's like, hey, I'm going to go out there. We're going to finish off this bowl. And he's like, why don't you and your lady go have some fun? I said, what do you mean? He's like, just help me on this, or just hear me out on this. Just try it. And so we went and we finished off that bulb. And then it was sex that got me hooked. Like, boom.
Yeah.
That moment, just boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we did that for about 8-9 months till we moved up, till we moved to Lincoln, Nebraska. And then we ended up quitting. And that was fucking like 20 years ago, right?
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So then I was clean for 20 years. And then what happened? I went to my buddy's bachelor party. And we were doing so much coke.
Same dude. The same guy that you did it with back then or no?
No. This totally different guy. Totally different guy. And we were doing so much coke. And we were at the strip club. Just rail after rail after rail after rail. And so we get back in this party bus that's driving us like his dad's rich. And so he really threw down for us. So we got this party bus that's driving us 100 miles back home. And the whole way back, all this guy is talking about, he's like, oh man, I can't wait to get back to Lincoln. I'm going to buy a blowjob. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Like, is that a thing? Like, I had no idea that you could do that in Nebraska. I didn't know that existed.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So he gives me this number to this escort service. And I was like, oh, well, fuck, maybe I'll try that. So I get back to my apartment, and I pick up the phone. I call that number, and she's like, yeah, I'm at this hotel, blah, blah, blah. And so I roll over there, and I am so coked out that I am so far away from a boner. It's not even – like Sisyphus could not roll the rock up the hill.
Yeah.
it was just not happening. So we end up just laying in bed watching CNN for like 4 hours. I'm not shitting you. So me and this hooker, we're just laying in bed watching CNN, and we hit it off like crazy. And she starts asking me if I've ever done dope. And at that point in my life, I thought dope was heroin.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And she's like, well, I'm going to smoke some. Is that cool? I'm like, well, like, what is that? Is that heroin? She goes, no, it's meth. I was like, well, isn't that what crank is now? And she's like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, yeah, I'll try some of that with you. And this is where all my shit started to go crazy. Because I took that hit and I was like, oh, I remember this feeling. Mm. And, but it was so much cleaner than all that biker peanut butter bullshit was back in the day.
Yeah.
It was so much cleaner. Like, because all that stuff, there was this peanut butter crank back in the day. I think I've heard you guys talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Reno's brought it up. But like that shit, like you'd hit it and you'd get high as fuck, but you would immediately feel dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like fucking crystal meth. The first time I took a hit of that, I was like, holy shit, I am clean.
Yeah.
I have no insecurities. Everything is perfect. And so she and I, like, we kept just sitting there watching CNN and smoking, right? Mm-hmm. And I turned into her pimp for about 3 hours. I was like, no, you know what? I'm too distracted to fuck right now. And she's like, that's going to go away soon. I was like, all right, well, if that's the case, let's maximize our potential here. And so I was like recruiting for her on on a website. I don't think I can probably name the website because I've been shut down, but
yeah,
I was recruiting for her on a website. And so all this was going on. And then like, she'd get a client and I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm just going to go down to your car and play games on my phone and listen to music.
No way.
Like, are you sure? Yeah. And she was like, are you sure? You're okay with that. I was like, well, you got to give me 20% of the money. And she's like, all right, cool. And then, so this went on for like probably 4 or 5 hours till she had to check out. And then, so we're checking out of the hotel. I took a cab over there and she's like, well, I'll give you a ride home. I was like, awesome. And so we stop and we get some booze. And I was like, well, fuck, you know, cause I am high as a fucking kite. I've not done speed in 20 years.
Right.
And I just, immediately we stop at this liquor store and I'm like, holy shit, I am horny. And like, that's when the backlog memory of the speed hit me. Mm. And so she got out of the car. She could almost like sense it. I don't know. She was a pro, I guess, but she could like sense it. She's like, you want me to come over and hang out for a while? I was like, yes, I do. and so we got over to my house and like we just fucked around and like it's still the same thing though. I was so speeded up, like between all the coke and the speed, it broke my dick. It felt amazing. But there was no way we were going to go to conclusion or anything like this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go. I was like, all right, cool. Thanks for the fun. You know, that was a good time. And she's like, she looks at me and she like takes a minute. She's like, you're all right. She's like, you want some of this to take with you? And I was like, what do you mean take? I'm at my house. And she's like, would you like me to leave some of this with you?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, cool. Do it. And so she left me about a half a gram and a pipe. And so I spent the rest of the day just smoking. And then that was my first plug.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she always cut me huge deals, man. Like, so that's how I got back into speed.
So you would call her, you would cop from her.
I would cop from her. Yeah. At first. So that was how it started. Hey, can I go smoke again? Is that cool? I'll be back real quick.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Danny, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
How the fuck did you lose your accent? You don't sound Russian at all.
Oh, I mean, I moved here when I was 7, you know?
Oh.
But okay. It's weird because a lot of the dudes I grew up with, all of them still talk, you know, they talk with heavy accent, you know? Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, but and it's, really? I don't know. I just stopped hanging around like fucking scummy Russian dudes, you know, like in
what when I was first listening to your podcast, I could like it every time I'd like the first one I heard Reno was on,
yeah,
and so it's like because Reno has the most amazing voice of any human being.
Oh, the most amazing voice in the history of voices,
and then so like, I was like, man, and the first quote I ever heard was, you get paid and then you go to the fuck shop and you buy a Liberator.
Yeah. Liberator.
So I had first listened to this podcast and I heard you do that. And I was like, all right, cool. That dude's on. I can listen to this program some more. Then I was like, wait, is that a different guy? Is it? And then they're like, Russian Danny. I was like, no, he's not Russian. No. And well, I was like, oh, that's different dudes.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually not Russian. I'm Ukrainian.
Yeah, I used to work with a Ukrainian woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah?
Her name was Demira. She was a hostess at the restaurant I worked at. She was incredibly gorgeous. And she got fired from her job because she hooked up with these Russian mafia guys
in
Lincoln. They were stealing cars. They were running a chop shop.
Whoa.
And she got caught up in that mess. And so she got arrested. Like, I think it was the third time they finally had to fire her.
Are you sitting, where was she working at with you?
The restaurant. Well, I don't want to say the restaurant's.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. At a restaurant. But, I missed that. That's
yeah. Awesome. We were running a restaurant. She was a hostess and she was actually training me.
Is that in Lincoln?
Yeah. That was like way back when. That was like the year 2000, I think. It was like 20 years ago, at least.
Now, Lincoln's like the big city of Nebraska, right?
Well, Omaha's the big city.
Oh, Omaha, right. Okay.
Yeah. Lincoln's where the university is.
Oh, okay.
And Lincoln's a more artistic town.
Oh, okay.
Oh, word.
And so, as we all know, when you find the artistic people, you find the drugs.
Yeah, very true.
What's your best story of being arrested?
Oh my God! All right, so this is so fucked up. This is fucked up because at the end of it, you'll think I narked on somebody, but I really didn't.
Yeah.
So remember I told you I was in full psychosis, right?
Yeah.
My girlfriend is beating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And so we're flying down the interstate, and I had this club, this like old school billy club.
Yeah.
That my sister used to have in her basement. I had that in my car. And I kept it in the door handle just in case. Because when I was copping, I'd go to bad neighborhoods. And for a while there, I was running the town I lived in. And so I didn't go anywhere without some sort of weapon, but I didn't want a gun because guns fuck you, right?
Yeah.
So I had this old school billy club, and she's hitting me with the back end of it. Just hit me in the side of the face. We're flying down the highway at 70 miles an hour. She's smack, 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 smack. She had to have hit me 6-7 times. She fractured my jaw with it.
No way.
Yeah.
And you were driving or was she driving?
No, she was driving. And she's Jesus using her left Christ. Hand. She's yeah. using her left hand. And this
is her name happened. James Bond?
No. But this whole thing happened because I caught her trying to cheat on me.
But there is rage. The only rage worse than a woman scorned is the rage of a woman caught, man.
Exactly. Yeah. There's Mike.
Do you guys find it weird that Mike and David can't talk at the same time? Like there's some sort of shape shifting going on?
Well, yeah. I think we're both large bearded men.
Yep.
And we I think as such,
pistols.
We share a common consciousness.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
But I catch her trying to cheat on me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the middle of trying to press charges on her for stealing my car.
Yeah. Right?
And she pulls into this in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska. She pulls into this little club where the sheriff has dropped me off. And he's like, is that your car? I was like, yes. And he's like, is that your girlfriend? I said, yes. And he's like, do you still want to press charges? I said, no. And he's like, so are you leaving? And I said, yes. And so I jump in the car thinking that like all this nonsense is going to be over. Right.
Yeah.
And so I sit quietly for probably 2 miles. And then she's like, why the fuck did you run like that? And I was like, well, you were trying to, you were offering oral sex to people that you'd met through me, including like people I sold to, like you were offering oral sex to my entire client base in order to get them to provide you a product. And she's like, I was not. I was like, okay. Well, I'm going to find your Backpage ad that I saw, and I'm going to pull it up so you can look at it. And all she starts doing, she's going, find it, screaming it as loud as she can, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking on my phone for it, and all of a sudden I feel this crack, crack, crack on the left side of my face.
Yeah.
And after about two of them, you kind of you stop like what you're doing, and you look over, and I was like, holy shit, this woman is beating me. This is unusual. This is not something that's supposed to happen. And so I reach up to my visor. I knew, there's a long backstory to this too, but I reach up to my visor to get these documents that she somehow found while we were driving away in that area. And I was like, I started looking, they all had this man's name in common, right?
Yeah.
So I threw those out the window, and then she hit me again, crack, crack, crack. And so I pulled my phone out of my pocket, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, my jaw was dislocated. I was like, I tried to say stop, but I couldn't even talk because at this point my jaw was in the middle of my uvula and I couldn't even speak. And so I was like, fuck this. I got to call 911. So I call 911 and they come and pull us over. And so they bring out medical. Medical puts my jaw back in place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, cool. This is what happened. And they're like, so do you have any problem if we search the car? Now, mind you, we had been smoking meth 2 days prior. two days prior, gentlemen, I appreciate the laughter, but 2 days prior, we ran out of meth. And so I thought she threw all the shit away. Because if you're making a pipe out of a bulb and a pen and some tape, why do you hold on to that?
Right.
There is never going to be a point in your life where you want meth so bad, you're going to smoke the fucking skank out of a light bulb. It's not going to happen. And so I thought it was gone. And so the police officer was like, can we search your car? I was like, abso-fucking-lutely, have at it. And they pulled a box out from under the passenger seat of the car that had the pipe in it.
Oh man.
And they said, is this yours? I said, I said, it was. I thought that shit got dumped 500 miles ago. And I was like, no, that's not mine. You're going to have to ask her why it's still in the car. And the cop was like, but you're aware that it once existed. I was like, once existed? Yeah. I'm like, I've been driving this car for 600 miles across this state. And I'm like, yeah, once existed, sure. She would not claim it. So I got shuttled off on felony dope charges. That's why I'm on probation today for a felony.
Oh.
And then I asked them, I was like, well, how much weight did you get? And they're like, we can't weigh it. It's a residue amount. I was like, you are taking me to jail on a residue amount. And they're like, yeah, that's what we do.
You don't even know is mine.
Yeah. No, I even told them. And to be honest, gentlemen, 100% honest right now, I had not done meth in 12 days. I was clean. And so the cop even said, he's like, David, if we were to offer you a drug test right now, what would happen? I said, I'd be dirty for weed, but I'd be clean for meth. And they were like, okay, we're going to jail. I said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Will they arrest you for weed there?
Not if it's under an ounce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first time I called the police for that girlfriend beating me up, I had about a dime bag of weed in my apartment. And I got kind of the same treatment because I called the police because she was beating me up, dude. She was hitting me all the time. Yeah. And I am a big dude. I mean, I'm 6'1". At this point, with quarantine, I'm like probably 300 pounds.
Right.
But back then when we still went to work, I was like 6'1", 270.
Yeah.
I was a big dude, and I was always conscious of that. Like, if you get in a domestic disturbance, it's not going to go your way.
Oh,
if any
right.
of this stuff happens, it's not going to go your way. Finally, one night, she was beating the shit out of me. She pulled one of my own guns on me.
No way.
Yeah. She pulled my own rifle on me because I had just bought a quarter ounce. Well, mm-hmm. I'd went to buy a ball.
Yeah.
But she was waiting for me. And Danny, remember when you were talking about a Sasha would get pissed? Because you'd be I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
And then you were back like 6 hours later?
Uh-huh.
That was how it went. I was like,
that's just how it goes. That's how it goes. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to hear about what's going on. They might have some cool stuff to show you.
Yeah.
You
know? Right. And whether or not, whether or not you give a fuck, you got to sit there through it all.
Yeah.
And so I went over there. I hit up my dude, and he like drops this on me. He's like, "Hey, can you give me a ride to Dollar General real quick?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." It was like 2 blocks away from my buy. And so I was like, "All right, here you go." And he's like, "Hey, you want to roll over here real quick? They'll smoke us up." I was like, I don't have a choice. Like, you're my dude. If I say no, then when next Friday comes around and I want to re-up, you're going to cut me off. So we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like two and a half hours or so. And I come back, and I intended on buying a ball, but I bought a cue. Right? He kicked me in a whole extra ball for driving him around. Then she started wailing on me. And then she pulled a gun on me, and I called the cops.
Oh, hell no.
I was like, dude, she's threatening to shoot me with my own fucking gun. And they're like, is there any drugs in the house? I was like, I got some weed up there. Mm-hmm. But I had stashed all the meth in my neighbor's yard. Four houses down.
Yeah.
I got there. It was still dark. And I knew that I was going to have to deal with this crazy woman when I got home. So I had homeboy drop me off like 2.5 blocks roughly before my house. And so I looked, and they had this giant like donkey for a lawn ornament.
Yeah.
So I pulled up this donkey, and I took my pocket knife out, and I cut this huge hole under the donkey's paw. And that's where I stuffed my dope, and I put it down.
No way.
Yeah. And so then I go home, and she's beating on me, and she pulls a gun on me, and the cops are there. And I was like, no, man. I didn't do shit. I just want her to stop beating on me. And the cops are like, well, you're a grown man. You're big. You don't have a witness. He's like, so we can't press charges. We're going to let her go. He's like, but we'll put a trespass on it if you don't want her back. And I was like, all right, cool. That's what I want to do. As they're hauling her out of my house, she's like, ask him about the quarter dope he just bought. Ask him about the quarter ounce of dope he just bought.
Oh, my God.
And so meanwhile, I'm like, bitch, fuck, I got to work in 2 hours. And the cops were like, well, we did run your name, and you have a warrant for possession of marijuana less than 1 ounce. I was like, okay, I told you guys about that when it happened. What does it cost? And they're like, $100. I was like, all right, cool. So I had to call one of my employees to get them to go pay that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could give it back to them, right? And they were Johnny on the spot with it. They had me out. I think I got pulled in there about 6:30.
Yeah.
They had me out by 7:30. Like, oh, the people great. The people in the jail, they didn't even dress me out that night. They put me in. I was like, no, my bail's here.
And was it city jail or county jail?
It was county jail, but they were regular customers of mine in the city.
Oh, I hear you.
So I got kind of the old boys club for that one. But then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, your homeboy's here to pick you up. I was like, all right, cool. He takes me back. And then I'm sitting in my apartment. I still have 2.5 hours to get to work now. I'm like, fuck, dude, I might as well get high. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around my apartment, and all of a sudden I hear this, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I open up the back window, and I'm looking out, and there's my ex-girlfriend. And she's just screaming up at my window. She's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I called the cops again. I was like, you know what? Can you get her out of here? The whole reason I called the cops to get her out of there that time was so I could run through the alley, go back, get my dope, come back home, get high, and then go to work.
Wow.
That's incredible. How much does an 8-ball cost there?
It depends on who you know.
Yeah.
When I first started getting it, it was about $200.
Damn.
Then by the time I got to I was running my town.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to that, it was $85.
How long ago was that?
Just over a year.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all the speed from Mexico now, right? Or do you guys
no,
have people?
No, that? it's all North American.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's all crystal.
No kidding.
There is no such thing as speed up here anymore. It's all crystal.
Oh, that's wild, huh, Danny?
Yeah.
It's all from Mexico here. It's $200 an ounce.
Yeah.
$200 an ounce?
Yeah. But it's kind of garbage, right, Danny?
It's kind of trash, yeah. I mean, we would just chase – we would just go on missions just trying to find that good dope, you know, and stay up for four, five, 6 days just being like, oh, wait, this fool over here's got it, you know, and then just trying to sell off what we just picked up to then go to the next guy to get that one. And you would take that first hit out of a bone. You'd be like, oh, this is it, you know. Let's get a half ounce of that. And then by the time we'd get to where we were going, we're like, wait, this is trash too, you know. We got to sell this off and then get to this fool, and he's got the good shit, you know.
200 an ounce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, but then will lead us to the next question. What is the longest time, the most amount of time you've stayed up?
Well, let me come back to that. Okay, because I want to
rule book.
I want to
rule. Rule. Don't you have the rule book 24?
But
Mike,
you know how rules are, Mike.
I listen to It's All Bad every day, and I know that some broadcasts go for an hour and some go for like 7. So this might take a little while, but I'm going to answer every question as effectively as I can, because Middle America is very underrepresented in this discussion.
That's true.
True.
Around here, what it comes down to, can I just tell another story? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, please.
So with so I told you I got picked up on that big batch of felony charges, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got out from that, and one of the conditions was a no-contact order with the girl who, fast forward a few months, lied about everything that happened that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my parents had to cough up $10,000 in cash to get me out of jail.
Oh, shit. Ooh,
my bond was my bond was $100,000. And in Nebraska, there's no bail bondsman.
Oh.
So my folks had to cough up 100 G's or 10 G's to get me out of jail. So they come and get me. And at that point, I'd never been in jail before. So you get thrown from never being in jail before to maximum security. You're like, get me the fuck. Oh, fuck. I almost forgot about this. You're already like, you're already like, get me the fuck out of here, right? Well, so my first night in max security, I go take a shower, and I get out of the shower, and I didn't understand the timing of the locks, and like you have to be in your cell or out of your cell. I didn't get that. So I was running back to my cell, my shoe fell off, and I've been asking the cops inside for shoes that fit. My shoes didn't fit. So my shoe flew off, my bare foot hit the wet concrete, and I slipped. And I ended up with a skull fracture, and I was knocked unconscious for almost 45 minutes.
Wow.
Before they got me out of jail. So they do that. That's over that's New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Damn.
The next time I'm awake is New Year's 2nd. It's January 2nd. So I've missed 18 plus hours. And that's when they're like, your bail's been posted, you're leaving. I was like, oh, cool. So I don't even have to go back to my unit? And they're like, no, you're out of here. So I get out, and that's when my mom and my dad came and picked me up. And I was like, I broke down crying. Dude, I cried like crazy. And they're like, don't worry about it, it's all fine. And you know what? Go ahead and remind me the question we're asking me now, because this stuff, I start going down rabbit holes, and I forget what the point is.
Oh, it's all good. what was the longest amount? What was the most days you'd stayed awake?
Oh, shit. All right. It was 5. But so it's not a long time.
But, I mean, that's a fucking long time. Don't get it twisted. People are not meant fuck that. That is a long time.
I lived in a haunted building.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes.
A double whammy.
Yes. Did I just hear Mike get excited?
Yeah. About the ghost Mike loves a double up.
Double.
Oh,
yeah. A twofer.
A twofer
Tuesday.
All right.
Well, The whole reason I wanted to be on this show was to talk about the ghost.
Oh, nice. Man.
But this is going to take me so fucking long.
Great.
To
talk about.
I'm so afraid to like ruin your podcast by dragging things out too long.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
So you remember the whole time I was telling you about Lincoln, Nebraska, when I got hooked on dope and I started chilling and doing all that stuff. You guys familiar with the Dopey podcast?
Yeah. They want to. Yeah.
Dopey's dope. No pun intended. But I used to go back home and jump on my computer and just gamble for hours and hours and hours. And I would listen to Dopey. One of their co-hosts died not that long ago.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible story. But the whole time I was trying to figure out, like, do I want to move to this little town? And I was like, no, I'm having a great time. I'm getting high. Like, I'm gambling. I'm making shitloads of money gambling. Like, I don't want to do this. But eventually I was like, okay, I'm moving. I'm moving to this town. By the time I moved there, I was already doing dope, right?
Yeah.
And it was only an hour away from my home. So I kept two addresses. I was making about 50 G's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And in Nebraska, that was enough to keep my apartment that I just moved into as well as my apartment I just moved out of.
Oh, wow.
And so the apartment I just moved out of turned into this fucking crazy sexy flop house.
Oh, yeah.
And so every time I come back to Lincoln, I'd be like using every app under the sun. I was like, are you on Meet Me? Are you on, like, I don't care what the app was. I was looking for it because if I could find dope, I could find some play, you know?
Right.
And I've been
PNP, as they call it.
Exactly. And, like, look at my picture, guys. I have been fat and ugly my whole fucking life. And all of a sudden, I got dope and I can relive this entire part of my existence that should have happened in high school but didn't. Because I was this introverted, neurotic thing, right?
Yeah.
But then I found this app called Kik. You guys know about that?
K-I-K?
Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is.
Oh, man. It's part of the perfect storm for addicts.
Oh, wow.
Because I started finding all these people, like, I forged these entire relationships. And all these, like, man, it was crazy. And I did that just in this room with nothing but a router. No, it wasn't a room. It was my entire fucking apartment. Nothing but a router and a desk and a computer, right?
No bed.
Well, no, that had already been moved.
Okay.
Then, hold on, we're getting to that part. Then I started hooking up. So one night I was like, you know what? I have never had a threesome. And this, at that point, the meth was like, dude, you are reliving a part of your life. You want to know what would have happened? Like, just do it. Just do it. So I hooked up this three-way. And it was in that apartment that had no bed, just a couch, two empty bedrooms. Like, and it was all fine. It was all perfect.
Yeah.
And then we moved to a hotel room the next morning.
You and then two girls.
Yeah. And then I went back to work in Fremont, Nebraska, which was an hour away. And then I was checking my bank account that afternoon and I was like, what the fuck? And so I looked and they had already squared away the room again for 3 days.
Yeah.
So they had charged me almost $500.
Damn.
And so I called my homie Nick. But Nick was my plug at the time. He and I used to work together. Then we didn't work together. He was always getting high. I was always getting high. We never knew that each other was always getting high, but somehow we found out. And I was like, you want to roll over to my place and take a look at what's going on? And he's like, yeah, dog, I got you. He was like, he already had a key to my house. I was away from my home so long that, and he only lived like 3-4 blocks away. So I said, dude, do whatever you want in there. Don't let my shit get jacked and don't let my landlord know anything. And so he calls me and he's like, oh, homie, I got bad news for you. I'm like, what is it? And he's like, your PS4 is gone.
Oh, man.
And I was like, did you fucking take it? And he goes, no, I wouldn't take it. And I said, Nick, I love you, but in 2 hours, I'm going to be in front of you, and I'm going to put a gun to your head, and I want you to say the same thing. And he said, oh, homie, don't you worry. He's like, you don't got to do that. And so immediately I thought that he was lying.
Yeah.
So I rolled down there, middle of the night, kicked in my own door. I put a gun in front of Nick, and Nick just Nick just goes, nah, dude. He's like, is that what you think of me? Put the gun back behind my waistband, and we were all okay.
Was that the time you were awake for 5 days?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Let's talk about the ghost.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay, so I lived in this house. When I was first moving to Fremont, I had a very, very stable job. I was making about 60 G's. And my bosses asked me, they're like, hey, do you want to go move here and take over this restaurant? And I call it, you guys that don't know Nebraska football, mm-hmm. you won't understand this, but I called it my Scott Frost moment. The reason I call it that is when Scott Frost was asked to be the coach at Nebraska,
yeah.
he already had a big ass good thing going on at Central Florida, right?
Yeah.
But he had the opportunity to go back to his roots and fix everything by going to Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I got that offer, it was kind of like, do I want to throw away everything I've done with my own crew up here? Because up here, man, I'd been doing everything right. That's when I learned how to control the meth. That's when I learned how to control the coke. And everybody's going to tell you you never learned to control that. But if they say that, they're full of shit, because you do. I had everything scheduled. So, like, I don't know how to put it, but everything was fine up here. And then eventually I took the job down there just for money.
Yeah.
And they give me a raise to about 60 G's. And I get down there and I'm like, holy shit. And then I find out I'm driving back and forth way too often to get dope. Right?
Because you're going to Lincoln to get dope, right?
Yeah, it's an hour drive.
Okay.
And so I'm going up there almost every day to get dope. Just boom, 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 boom. And then I start selling it too, because the dope I'm getting in Lincoln is way better than the dope they have down here, right?
Right.
And I've been using apps to find customers the whole time. And I've been using, like, dude, I was dynamite at this. It was so cool because I tell them, I'm like, no, I'm not going to meet you. I will not meet you. But we used to have this big ass park in front of my house, right?
Yeah.
And I'd say, you leave $200 down the barrel of the cannon, and 30 minutes later come back and you're going to find your quarter ounce.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't want to do that. And I was like, all right, cool. If you don't want to do that, then we're not going to do business. You know, and it was like that everywhere all through town.
Oh, so you would just leave it somewhere in the park and they would come get it?
Dead drops was the way we were doing it. Because I was kicking money down too. There was this group of kids that I knew in Lincoln. I met them when I was doing dope here, and they were talking to me about trapping. And I was like, dude, I don't even know what trapping means. I'm fucking 40 and I'm white. Like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you got money and you got dope. They're like, let's work this. And so I was like, all right, cool. And so we set up the game. And so I moved to town and I told them flat out, I was like, I am not going to put hands on money. I am not going to put hands on product outside the recreational amount. You, his name was Jeff. I was like, you will provide me the recreational amount that I want. Everything else goes to you.
Yeah.
I will provide you X amount of dollars. And on the X amount or on the X day of that month, I want that money from you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, boom, 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 boom. It just all happened. And so I'm living this beautiful white collar lifestyle. I was running a restaurant, so I guess that's blue collar.
Yeah.
But every time I went in, it was like nothing, nothing, nothing. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm starting to stack my own payroll on top of the dope payroll, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at projections and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to make 100 grand this year. Then all of a sudden one day, I go into work on my day off. And one of my cooks, just a line cook, he looks at me and he's like, hey, I'm going to text you tonight and don't act surprised. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? And he's like, don't worry about it. He's like, I'll talk to you later tonight. And I said, don't text me. Come by my house. And he's like, am I cool coming in? And I said, why would you not think you're cool coming in? And he's like, same reason I'm asking you to be cool. He's like, am I cool coming in? And I said, of course. So this dude that's been cooking, just not cooking dope. He's been cooking food products for me for 2 years. Comes into my apartment. He's like, listen. He's like, you might think your homeboy is being quiet, but he's not. He's like, that dude that he brought over to your place last week, he told me you're buying. And he said, I got a better product and I got a better price. He said, and I've been through drug court, so I don't want to do it again. And he said, and I know full well you don't want to do it for the first time. He's like, you want to start working. And I said, fuck, dude, give me half an hour on this because I don't know. And he said, all right, I'll be back in an hour. And he's like, and let's just talk. And I said, all right, I'm going to need to see the product. So homeboy leaves. He shows up back at my house in an hour with a packed bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit back and we smoke it. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, you are right. And so at that point, my career as a real human and my career as a drug dealer instantly became inexorably linked. Am I boring you guys?
No, absolutely not.
No.
All right.
Riveted. I'm just like, what?
I worry about the shit because, like, I don't have serious prison time. I only got like a couple months, you know? And I do actually. I have some serious good drug stories.
Most people don't have the prison stories.
Oh, dude. But, you know, when you get on the internet and stuff and you start finding podcasts you like and they start telling war stories, everybody's always like, well, my story's better. But I really think I really think I got a good story.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Next question. Ask me another one and I'll fire away.
I mean, it's been great so far. Shit. Is that a chip? Whoa, the what ghost. Kind of mug is that? Yeah, the ghost. But wait, what kind of mug is that?
Oh,
Chewbacca.
Fuck.
Chewbacca?
The goat. Oh, yeah, it's Chewbacca.
Oh, hell yeah. That's rad. All right, ghost story.
How rad would be he turns it and it's a Mike Fiala mug?
Guys, I don't want to be a dick, but the ghost story. I got to go smoke for the ghost story. Is that all right?
Yeah. Go smoke.
Yeah. There's the ghost story is going to take us like 2 hours. Is that going to be okay? Man, you guys haven't talked at all. Like,
dude, because your fucking story's so good.
Yeah. No, I thought the last one was going to keep going.
Yeah.
I've been waiting so long to have a time on this podcast, man.
Dude,
this is so great.
Be glad we're not talking. Usually when we're talking, we're trying to fucking get something out of somebody.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Like, this format, you know, like, I was thinking about it. It's like, it's a lot different, right, guys? Like, it feels like we're so used to just being around a table.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Kind of back and forth talk that just like a digital interface does fuck with, you know?
Yeah. That's the hardest part, man. My friends and I, we used to do a movie podcast. And the hardest part was getting somebody on telephonically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just could never work it out.
Yeah, it becomes a you go, then I go, and then you go. It's like the edits of the stiltedness.
Well,
but this is awesome. I want to hear this ghost story so bad.
I guess you got lucky then, because when I start talking, I never shut up. So
good.
Anyway, the ghost story. So all right, this is gonna take a minute.
Okay.
So I moved to this apartment building in Fremont, right? When I first took the job, I was talking about in the Scott Frost moment where I was like, nah, fuck this. I got to take a top 10 company and I got to do it better. So I'd never moved away from home, really. Well, I guess Lincoln wasn't home, but I'd never moved away from there. I'd never been further away from home. And I took this job and my boss was like, listen, you got $800. He's like, $800. Anything over that, you got to cover yourself. And so I went up there looking for a place to live, and I was like, holy shit. I found this gigantic, gigantic one-room apartment for $600. And I was like, holy shit, I'll take this. It's fine. And then so I spent probably 2 months, because at this point I was already smoking speed. And I figured out that my room, and like the guys across my hall did too. But I was like, no, they're way worse than me, because they're in the domestic dispute problem all the time. Like they were in that range of speed. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. Yeah. And so I moved up there, and I jumped in this apartment, and everything was fine. Mm. And then Jesus Christ, it's been almost 2 years ago. On April 5th of 2018, my cat, I had no idea when my cat wasn't fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And she had kittens in the apartment, right? Well, rewind 2 weeks to that. I still had both apartments. And so I'd come back home, I'd clean the kitty boxes, I'd leave them food and water, and then I'd go to work, you know, if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking through all the just cabinets and all that stuff in my house that I just rented, and I found all these candles.
Yeah.
And I found this, like, banner that was, like, happy birthday. I found all this shit just laying in my apartment. And I was like, man, this is weird. But they didn't get rid of it. So let's check it out. So I'd gone through and I changed all the light bulbs that day. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into the cabinets and I found 16 candles, and I found a happy birthday banner. And when I looked at the top of the, these two in my dining room leading into my kitchen, I had these two bookshelves, right, that were built mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
And there were circles on each bookshelf. And so that night, I took out candles from the hutch, and I lit them both, and then I hung the happy birthday banner. Just to get some stuff on the walls. I was doing that,
and then
I turned on the light to the bathroom. And the light bulb exploded. It didn't burn out. It didn't. It exploded. And so I went and I grabbed my broom and I was sweeping everything up. And I was talking to this chick on Kick. I was talking to her the whole time. And I was also talking to this other girl, a good friend of mine, on text messaging, whatever the iTunes thing lets you do. And so I was talking to her. And then, so I replaced the bulb in the hallway, and then I went back into the dining room, and there was a ceiling fan that the motor was blown out of. So it didn't work at all. Like I'd tried this before I moved in, and it didn't work. And then I clicked it on, and it started blowing away. Like it was blowing faster than I could have ever imagined a ceiling fan going. And it ripped the happy birthday banner off the wall. It blew the candles out. And I was telling my friend Shannon this whole thing on Kick. And she's like, why are you fucking with me? I'm like, I'm not fucking with you. I'm going to call you on your real phone number. And then all of a sudden, everybody I tried calling the real phone number went boop, 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 boop,
oh, shit. Boop.
So it was like I lost signal to everybody I tried calling, right?
Yeah.
So I go to work the next day, and I knew that my kitchen manager – and he was the most pragmatic person that I've ever met in my life. Like he's that guy, right? He doesn't believe in supernatural shit. He doesn't care. But I knew he lived in that building. And so I was like, dude, this was happening. And he's like, which one do you live in? And I was like, number 8. And he goes, oh, wow. So check this out, dudes. So 16 years before I moved in there,
oh no.
A girl jumped out of the building trying to get on the fire escape. Yeah. I told you how many candles were in that hallway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that night I race home. I just race home an hour to my apartment in Grand Island. And I have cats there. that are waiting for me to get them to my new home. I throw them in the car and we race back. I put them in the house and there's never anything wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing goes wrong. Everything is fine. She gets pregnant and she's supposed to be fixed. I got these cats from my sister. My sister told me they were fixed. She has a litter of four cats. When she's supposed to be not able to have a cat at all.
Right.
So now all of a sudden I have six cats in my house. Every time I look around, they're swatting at something on the walls. Right. And I'm thinking, like, I live in a shitty ass building. So I'm thinking it's roaches. I'm thinking something like that. Right. But in my entire place, in my entire time in this apartment, I don't see a single insect, nothing. Right. And so me and these cats, we grow to have a wonderful home. At this point, like, I was still working at my job and I was smoking meth, but I was still smoking meth, quote, responsibly, end quote.
Yeah.
I hadn't started bringing women into my life yet on the meth, all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So everything's going good. Then all of a sudden, I bring my girlfriend at the time. We meet through meth, and she starts coming over. All of a sudden, my cats start acting weird. Like, they want to fight. They don't want to fight me. They don't want to fight each other. They want to claw at her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, so anyway, she runs away for a while. And I get her to come back. She comes back. And the cats are all cool with her. Well, then she gets evicted from her apartment. All this crazy shit happens. And I said, just come stay with me. Like, it's not that big a deal, right? And so she comes to live with me. My cat is pregnant again when she comes to live with me.
Mm.
The cats are all stillborn, every one of them.
What?
The kittens are all stillborn.
Fuck.
Right after she – I'm not saying, like, it's like – the cat got pregnant and then she moved in? No. The cat's been pregnant for a long time. The veterinarian has been following the movements of the kittens the whole time. She moves in and the cats are all stillborn. Wow. And so I'm going to fast forward through a lot of this. But one night, she and I were sitting in my apartment. And the place was run by radiators and not heaters, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't too hot outside. But we were boiling. Like, I remember I was sitting at my dining room table playing games on my computer, and I had a shirt. Gentlemen, you see me now. I am not attractive without my shirt on. I had my shirt torn off, playing in front of my computer, window wide open. She comes out, and we've been fighting for a long time. She's like, I don't even know what we're fighting about. And I said, I don't either. Let's get out of here. And as soon as we walked out of the apartment, not even the building, we walked out of the apartment. We were holding hands, laughing together. Everything was wonderful. We walked to the grocery store. We came back, and no sooner than 10 seconds, we got in the apartment, and she was punching me in the face again.
No way.
Yeah. And then so I worked through all that, and then but every single moment we shared in that apartment, every moment we shared, the violence got worse and worse and worse. She was constantly beating me, hitting me, kicking me. It was bad. And so then we moved away. And then this is where it gets real fucked up. So there were all these cabinet doors and all this stuff in the apartment that were made of glass.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were tweaking, she'd take them out of there to write on them or do just doing craft stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
As you do.
As we do.
We'd be driving down the highway and she'd be beating the fuck out of me. I'd pull over and I'd throw one of those pieces of glass into the sink. I'd just throw it into the ditch. And I'd shatter it, I'd break it, and she would suddenly literally fall asleep and everything would be fine again. And then she'd wake up and she'd start beating on me. And I would open up the trunk and I'd grab something from the house.
Yeah.
And it was never anything that we took into the house. It was only the things that were there when we lived there that we took out. And I would throw them away. And then suddenly she'd be okay again. So we did that all the way back to my hometown. And we went to a Catholic church. Because she was like, something is not right. She's like, I don't remember doing these things to you. Like, she bit me one time. She took a whole chunk out of my arm.
Oh, hell no.
I have a scar that literally looks like a dragon bit me.
Is this the same girl who was hitting you with a billy club?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're jumping around timelines, though.
Gotcha.
This was before the billy club beating.
Right.
Girl, thank you for clarifying that.
yeah, no worries. But I had this bite mark on my arm that went from the top of my elbow to the bottom of my elbow. And it seriously looked like a dragon took a bite out of me. And we were at a Catholic church. And the head priest of the church was like, "Will you come into my office?" And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." I was like, I am not a Catholic, bro. I'm a drug addict, and I'm trying to fix my shit. I'm like, just tell me this isn't something weird. And he looks at me, and he goes, it's something weird.
Uh-oh.
So we go into his office. It's him and her and me, and we're all sitting there. And my left hand, I'm holding her right hand with my left hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he starts saying prayers of binding. And he starts saying the Lord's Prayer. And all of a sudden, I start feeling her hand getting tighter and tighter on me. And then this nun comes up and stands behind her and starts saying the same prayers. And then I still have fingers on this hand.
Mm-hmm.
I still have scars where her fingers were. Because her eyes rolled back in her head. She squeezed my hand. And all she kept saying was, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
No way.
Yeah. What? That's real.
Like that's exorcism real. Shit.
Full on exorcism.
Yeah.
Holy that's, shit.
That's real. So later that day, Comic-Con was going on in Grand Island, Nebraska. And so we got out of that. And she was normal again when we got to the truck. And I was like, do you want to go to Comic-Con? and of course she says yes. So we go to Comic-Con. And she starts talking shit about every exhibition we see. And she's like, well, we only go where you want to go. And I was like, no, we've never gone where I want to go. And all of a sudden, the eyes rolled back again. And she punched me square across the face. And she goes, well, fuck you. And she knocked me out.
Damn.
She was 140 pounds, maybe at the most. She hit me and she knocked me out cold.
Wow.
And I woke up and I called the priest and he came out. And we followed her around for 3 hours. Just everywhere she went, we followed her. And
sorry.
That's all right, man. And she would never consent to just calling it off until we got all the way back to that same Catholic church. And then we said, please stop. And she immediately fell flat on her face.
No way.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And, dude, I could tell you more and more and more about what went on in that house. It just I try to edit it because we were doing meth.
Yeah.
At the time. In that house. And so it's hard to explain like what was not psychosis and what was the truth.
Yeah.
But then when we got out of there, the shit I'm telling you right now is not psychosis. I was already clean. So was she. It was, was flat out demonic. I mean, I still have scars on my fingers.
Yeah.
From when that priest was praying over her. And he even called me aside after we finally got her away. That one day, and I said, so is this schizophrenic or is this demonic? And he said, no. He said, we talked about calling the police for 2 hours. And he said, if people are schizophrenic, when they hear police, when they hear emergency vehicles, that's when they stop. He said, she never stopped and she bit me.
Right.
Wow.
Whatever happened to her?
I'm still talking to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's
amazing. But after she, when you got back to the church and she fell over, was that kind of the last thing that happened?
That was our last domestic issue. Because we were supposed to, we were both living with my sister at that time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all those charges I told you that got dropped, those were her falsifications of charges.
Oh, okay.
And so my entire family kind of find out at the same time that she lied about all of that. And at the same time, like, the town I was living in, they publish everything. Like, innocent until proven guilty is not a thing for them. Mm. They just publish it as soon as your charges are heard, right?
Yeah.
So I'd lost everything.
Yeah.
And I tried to tell my family. I was like, no. She didn't. It wasn't her. Like, don't worry about it. Blah, 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 blah. So she moved back here with me. And then, you know, the worst part of it was, guys, so I'd been making recordings all the time. Like, because when she would shift personalities. And so it would be like one personality would be awesome. The next one would be horrible. And the next one would be abusive, right? So I started recording this. And one night I was sitting out front of my sister's house in my truck. And I was just sketching and listening to a podcast. And everything was fine. And she came over telling me she wanted to make peace. And I was like, all right, cool. How do you want to do that? And a lot of it was like her telling me these imaginary things. Like, she wanted to throw this piece of rock into the river. Right. But I'd been so inundated by all this crazy fucking phantasmal shit that I thought, all right, that's perfect. That's amazing. Then we got back to my truck and I was like, well, you said you would listen to the things that you said, right? And she would say, yes. So I'd plug in the CD and I'd start playing all her violence. And she literally, guys, I'm not kidding you, came through the window punching me. Right-handed, just bam, 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 bam.
Fuck.
So, yeah, I ain't just seen a ghost. I lived with a ghost. I lived in a building. I lived in a building with a ghost, and I could keep talking about it for hours.
Was there anything that happened?
I lived with the female equivalent of Mike Tyson.
Say what now?
Well, I'm just saying, you got pretty punchy.
Like, yeah,
that's tough.
Well, the worst was her mother passed away, and her mother was Native American, and her mother was incredibly nice to me. She every time I met her, the first time I met her, she had just gotten both her legs amputated, and she told me, she said, my daughter has never been with a man that actually cared about her. She said, is that you? And I looked around because my girlfriend at the time, she'd already left the room. And I was like, yeah, of course I do. And she said, you're going to take her to new places. And she said, I don't know how to explain this to you, but I'll talk to you again. And then she died.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, hold on. It gets crazy here. So then I moved in with my uncle here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about genealogy one night. And he starts telling me that about three generations back, I had a Native American aunt. And he starts telling me about all that. And then all of a sudden, I start having dreams where I have this Native American woman telling me, like, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And I would wake up in the middle of all that, like, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. What the fuck does that mean? And so, like, I ain't just seen a ghost. I lived with a ghost. I fought a ghost. I beat a ghost. And now I'm still fighting a ghost.
That's so crazy.
Wow. Ooh, that's great.
Was there anything that she did in that apartment that you feel like, you know, might have led to a possession or that, you know, that enabled you to stay apart from it?
From my rational point of view, that was when we, I hate to talk about this part because this part makes it easy to dismiss it. But that was the first time I ever shot dope. And she shot me up.
Oof.
And so that was an interesting part of it. One thing that led to that was I'd been arrested already. I'd spent 10 days in jail. And I met with a nun in jail on day 8. And one thing that we talked about was this the concept of like divine forgiveness. We talked about that a lot. And one thing she asked, she said, if you could convince yourself that one thing is necessary to your spiritual healing, what would it be? And I said, to be honest with you, it's to forgive myself. I'm like, because at this point in my life, that's such a foreign concept that I'm not willing to do it. And so that's why these other people are here because of me, because I could never forgive myself. I could never fix it. And then one night in my apartment, it was the first time I ever shot up. And she hit me. Not like striking, she hit me. She put the needle in, she hit me.
Oh.
And I remember all of a sudden her face changed and she said, "Day Duncan." That's what one of her personalities called me. My name is David Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her personalities used to always call me Day Duncan. And she said, "Day Duncan, you and that old lady, she said, you were right. You have to forgive yourself." And I'd never said that to a single person. I had never said that to a single person outside that jail.
Wow.
Ever.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is that girl clean now?
It depends on who you ask.
She says
she is, but she's so fucking brutally abusive that I don't believe her.
Yeah.
And if she's physically clean, she ain't nowhere near spiritually clean.
Right.
Yeah. And, big difference there. Big
exactly.
Difference.
Exactly, man. I was just going to say that. I think we all understand that like spiritually clean is way more important than physically clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I've just been talking you guys' ear off. Like,
dude, no, not at all. Oh. Holy shit.
Hey, guys, can you guys finish up without me? I got to go watch my kid for a bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dave.
Oh, right, man. Thank you, dude.
Earlier you said to remind you about your three rules 2.0 for the next time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh, shit. All right. Give me a second on that, yeah. Okay? So my first rules were the 24-hour rule, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then the banana rule.
The banana, the almonds, the water.
Yep, the almonds and the water.
Yeah.
Fuck. Shit. I haven't been high in a long time.
That's good. Good. Fuck, yeah. Wait, how long have you been sober?
I hit my year on April 24, or April 14th.
Dude, congrats. Dude,
congrats,
that's
man.
So thank you. Tight.
Thank
that
you.
Is so tight.
I do still drink, but
hey, all good.
Not like I used to.
Yeah.
And I've been clean on drugs for a year. In fact, Mike, you're kind of my idol in that regard. Like, I know you still drink the alcohols.
Mm-hmm.
And when I
Mike's all glug glug glug. Yes. You mean this is
definitely. Hey. Can I know I'm in the spot now. Can I go smoke again real quick, or is that not cool?
No, you can smoke. Fuck, I kind of got to run. I kind of got to run, too.
Well, shit, if you got to run, I'll hold off on smoking. I'm just trying to remember what my goddamn rules were the other set.
For the next time.
Yeah. I mean, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck, we might have to bring you back, because, fuck, that was great.
Dude, I would love it, man. Oh, shit.
Well, let's just wrap it up with maybe one more question then, and that's you ever do PCP?
Yes. Yeah. One time. only one time, and this was fucking nuts. So this was about the same time I moved to that little town.
Could you position the camera so we can see you?
Yeah, when I clapped real hard,
this is impossible.
I knocked the bass off.
Even if you're just holding it.
Hold on. There we go.
All right.
Great.
So that same apartment I was telling you about that was haunted.
Yeah. Mm.
So earlier that year, I met this couple that lived in the same town I did, and we used to like to get high all the time, right? And they were the only people that I knew that were not fucking weird as fuck when we smoked meth. And I was the only dude they knew that wasn't weird as fuck when he smoked meth. So we hung out all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then, but I quickly learned to not enjoy their company so much because I was at this point I was still trying to maintain like the blue collar lifestyle. Like, mm-hmm. I was still trying to do everything right. And then I'm sitting in my apartment one day in Fremont and I'm playing video games and I hear this knock on my door. And I was like, who the fuck is that? Nobody knows I live here. I open the door and it's homeboy. And he's like, hey man, we just rolled up to Fremont and we got the apartment above you. I was like, oh, okay, that's awesome, I guess. Well, so then it was just like small talk, you know, back here and back there. And
yeah.
they ended up actually being really, really great dope customers of mine. They made me a lot of money when I needed it. But one night he comes down to the house. He's like, what's up, man? What are you doing? I was like, I'm just playing some PS4, man. And he's like, you need anything? I was like, you know what? I could really use a joint. I really could. Because that was the only thing I didn't have. I had a dope hookup. I had everything. But I had nobody to get weed from.
Yeah.
And so he's like, all right, give me $20. I'll be back. So I give him $20. And I'm just playing PlayStation. I'm playing this game called Deus Ex. Oh, man, that's so much fun. I'm playing it on my PS4. And about half an hour later, he shows up knocking on the door. I was like, all right, dope. My weed's here. And so I go and I look, and he's like, all right, we're good. And he's got a blunt that's already rolled. And I was like, what the fuck is that, dude? I can't weigh that. And he's like, all right, just take my word for it this time. I was like, all right, cool. So we start smoking this blunt. And all of a sudden, I start realizing this game is more and more and more intense. And I'm like, this is fucking insane. And all like we get about halfway through it, and he's like, oh, fuck. I'm like, what do you mean, oh, fuck? He's like, I forgot to tell you. He's like, we're getting wet. And I was like, what do you mean we're getting wet? What is that even fucking? And then I remembered I'd seen the Denzel Washington movie, Training Day.
Training Day, yeah.
Like 20 years ago. And I was like, are you telling me we're smoking PCP? And he goes, yeah. And I go, oh, okay, hold on. And I was like, oh, you know what? That Kurt motherfucker owes me $250. And he goes, what? I was like, yeah, I fronted him a quarter like last year and he hasn't paid me yet. And he's like, do you want to go get it? And I was like, fuck, no, but yeah. And so he goes, why don't you chill here for a minute? And then I'll talk to you again in like 20 minutes. And I'm just going to, and as soon as he's saying this, he's like putting everything softly down on my coffee table, getting up and just slowly backing out of the room. Right. So I'm playing PlayStation. I'm playing this game. And I'm just like, just chewing everybody up. I'm like, this is like fucking money. And then I'm like, this motherfucker really owes me $250. And as soon as that clicks in my brain, homeboy is knocking at my door again. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's like, well, we know where he lives if you want to go. And I was like, ah, let's go. And so I get this busted ass piece of wood. It was like an axe handle or something. I don't know what it was. But I was like, I can't drive. You got to drive me. And so we get in his car. And he drives me over to homeboy's house. I walk up and I just knock on the door with this piece of wood. I'm trying as hard as I can to be calm. I'm like, knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. And suddenly his homeboy opens the door and he's like, yeah, what's up? I was like, hey, it's Fitch here. Knock, knock, knock. He's like, no. I was like, knock, knock, knock. Tell him I was here. And he's like, well, who are you? And I was like, you want to ask me that again? And he goes, who are you? And I go to like flip this thing and hit the door again so he can't lock the door. All of a sudden, this car comes pulling in the driveway, the headlights on. And my buddy goes, I think that's him. And I'm like, and I remember taking a minute and looking at him. I was like, is it supposed to feel like this? And he's like, just hit something. And so I go running at the car. I rip the driver's side door open. And I'm sitting here with my beat stick. I'm like, where is he? And I hear this, it's me. It's me from the back door. And so I slam this door shut. I open up the back door. I'm like, you owe me $250. And he goes, here's $500. Will you please go home? So I took his $500 and went home.
Oh, man. That's
not too bad.
When I got home, I ate about a half a gram of mushrooms, and I smoked a bunch of weed. I smoked a bunch of weed until I calmed down.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, that ended a lot better than a lot of our other PCB stories did. Yeah, most of them. Fuck.
Dude,
like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Being on this show has been, like, one of my favorite things in the world, man. I've been listening to you guys almost since I stopped.
Like, oh, man.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. No, yeah. Dude, you were so good. Thank you so awesome. Much, David.
Man,
dude, congrats on a year off the shit. That's fucking huge.
I got stories coming out of my ass. I'll come on anytime you want me to.
Dude, it'd be all great to have you back. So that's good. I'm excited about listening to this once it's all cut and slicked up and all that.
Dude, I'm really disappointed in? It's the only thing I'm disappointed in. Hmm. The next time I'm on, put Reno on there.
All right, hell yeah.
That guy's voice, like, I don't even know what it is. Like, I could be talking about how a babbling brook smells nice and wonderful. Reno would be like, yeah, but you got high one time. I'd be like, oh, yeah. Let's talk some stories, Reno.
We'll have Reno.
We gotta get more Reno.
Yeah,
for sure. Mike, I promise next time I'll let you talk more because you're my hero on this show. I look at you, I'm like, that is another bald man with a giant beard. And he is just wonderful in all ways. And Danny, I still don't believe you're Russian. I think that's a lie. I think that's some sort of publicity stunt.
That's why I'm scared to do 23andMe, because if I do it and it comes back, the fucking I'm like like a Polack or some shit. I'm fucked, you know? Then I'm canceled, you know?
Dude. Fair enough.
Yeah. But, dude, right, David, thank you so much, man. We're definitely going to have you back with Reno. Dude, thank you. That was rad.
Thank you, man. I'm down anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of It's All Bad. Like and subscribe. Listen where you listen to these things called podcasts. And thank you so much for tuning in with us. Be careful. Stay happy. Stay sane. Stay safe.
Thanks. Keep coming back.